Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. Fubar and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Hello, welcome to Fubar Radio. I am Paul Gannon.
And I am Richard Sandling.
And I am Eli Silverman.
And for some reason, we have decided to start a 27-hour podcast to raise money for comic relief. We don't know why now we've started it. How are we feeling, anyway?
I'm feeling very, very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Bite-eyed? Look, just wanted to say that, you know, we're going to get off on a kind of Gannerism thing.
I
sounded like bite to me. Tell them what a Gannonism is, because I'm guessing we're going to hear a load of them tonight.
Gannonism is where you mix your metaphors or just say the plain wrong word.
Such as?
When you meant to say, I'm going to drum up some excitement, you said, I'm going to drum up some exercise.
Yes. Or the infamous time I spoke to a lady at work who was tired out, and I was meant to say, why don't you stretch your legs? And instead it came out as, why don't you spread your legs? She didn't take that well.
Or when you referred to someone changing their clothes as getting unchanged.
Yeah, I know. We'll make a note of these as we go, shall we, and see how many I do by the end of the 27 hours.
You will do some.
All right, OK, so let's just set the rules up. If anyone doesn't know, comic relief. Should we tell them what comic relief is for those who might not know? Because it's possible people don't know, like hipsters, the youth, the elderly, who might be a bit out of touch.
People who've been in a coma.
Yeah, people
who... just come out today.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser from Blast from the Past. Maybe he, a character of his type, needs to know what Comic Relief is. Well, Comic Relief is a comedy-based fundraiser, and every 2 years they put a telethon on, and they raise money for charities in Africa, and the poor, and the starving. I should have made notes, because I might, you know, I just don't want to say, oh yeah, they give money to anyone, but I don't know if they do. I presume it's just for the poor.
What about the homeless and the mentally ill?
No. I believe not, no.
Okay.
No, so Comic Relief,
it's good that we get the person who knows all the facts to lead this. The first bit anyone's going to listen to is the person who knows everything about what Comic Relief do.
I'll tell you what, I will read right now the official blurb from Comic Relief about where the money goes and how they get it. Is that all right?
That would make a lot more sense.
All right.
Should we just fill in while you go and eat at your computer?
Fill in 27-hour show. Yeah, why not? Go for it. Okay, here we go. So, Red Nose Day 2015 is heading your way on the 13th of March. The telethon is the 13th of March this year. And the great British public will be asked to make a funny face for money. So that's all the stuff about doesn't involve us. Comic Relief spends their money to help raise... to help change the lives of poor, vulnerable and disadvantaged people across the UK and Africa. So you're right. They give money out here as well?
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Comic Relief is a UK charity that aims to create a just world free from poverty.
Good. That's a good aim.
Yeah. It's certainly not a bad one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Up to date, to this very day, they have raised over £960 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
So there you go. That's what Comic Relief do, and so we decided this year to get involved. Now, for the past few years, and I don't know how many years exactly, Mark Watson, the comedian, has been doing marathon shows of his own, hasn't he, in the Pleasance?
Yes.
I like the just barking.
We're going to be Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
And every year gets longer. So I think it began with 24 hours and then 26, and so this year's 27. And so as of tonight, live... at 9 o'clock at the Pleasance, where the Fubar Studios are right next door to, Mark Watson begins his 27-hour event with loads of guests and challenges. There are 20, including his own, I believe there are 25 other challenges going on tonight around the venue, from people watching Power Rangers non-stop. I think we know who that person is, don't we? Yeah. Hello, Pete. Good luck.
I think he's already done it.
Oh, I thought he was doing it live tonight. I thought he was here tonight doing it. I might be wrong. Either way.
He's already done it, I think.
What did he have to do?
Watch Power Rangers for 27 hours non-stop.
But there must be at least sort of 6 or 7 hours of Power Rangers out there.
If anyone is a Power Rangers expert who wants to fill in at
this
point...
Is it one Power Rangers movie in particular, or just the whole
TV? I think there's loads of TV series, and I think they've rebooted it a few times.
Well, that's easier than the challenge that I saw someone when I came down last year.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it might have been the year before.
Because you were here the last time he did it, weren't you?
Yeah, I watched it for a few hours.
How was it?
My good friend Mark Allen. There was someone watching Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Fuck. Fucking hell.
For 24 hours.
Oh, my God, that is torturous.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's easier to watch, you know, the whole of the Power Rangers, you know, because...
It's fluffy fun.
Well, there's lots of it. But there's not just 1 hour and a half long film about a chihuahua, you know?
No.
But you have to keep... He had to keep his eyes on the screen at all times, watching it.
Afterwards, was it a bit like Clockwork Orange, where you couldn't go up to chihuahuas on the street without caving into a fetal position?
He did look pretty disturbed, actually. I saw him on the stage. He wasn't having a great time.
I'll have to check out the website later, because they have a list of all the different things going on, apart from ours. We'll see if... Because obviously you're going to be our roving reporter for some of the night.
Yep, aye.
So we're going to be sending you, at times, when it doesn't piss off the comic relief people, to go over and basically annoy them and ask questions to people who are doing challenges.
Okay, good.
Are you good for that?
Yeah, I'll find the Power Rangers guy.
Yeah. So, obviously, we're doing this for 27 hours and we're not just doing it for the good of our health because, frankly, none of us in this room have good health. So we do want you to donate money. We have a target. I think a quite sensible target of £500. I think we can get £500 tonight. I'd like more.
Okay, I think that's a sensible target.
So, throughout the show, we're going to be name-dropping, or certainly dropping, this link to you. So, you are going to get tired of us saying this, and I guarantee I'm going to get tired of saying it. So, the way you can donate, as little as a few pounds or a few £100, go crazy. It's not Christmas. I don't know. This is not a good start. Write Christmas down as a Gannonism. We got one.
It's not, you know, Comic Relief is like the comedy Christmas.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it? So you're sort of right, but very wrong.
And just like Christmas, you look forward to it for ages and then it disappoints on the day.
Oh. It's 27 hours stuck in a room with TV you don't really like.
Look, yeah. No, this is getting more and more like Christmas all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, and just like Christmas, you didn't get me a present.
No.
Aww. Bless. So, yeah, please donate. So if you want to donate, if you'd like to donate, please do. Go to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. That's GEEKATORIUM27PODCAST. And also, we have to talk for 27 hours.
Yeah.
And we'd like topics. If you've got a topic that you'd like to... drop in our way that we can reach into and, you know, debate, we can do that. So what we're going to do is on our Twitter, you can follow us either at the FUBAR radio Twitter. So if you want to do it there, you can go at FUBAR radio or at the Geekatorium and do #27topic, #27topic, and drop in a topic. That could be something as light as Leonard Nimoy just died, or something a bit more serious, like, is that a red and gold dress, or is it black and white? No one knows. So, yeah, please do that. And also, we're going to be tweeting things of interest. So it'll be #27hourpodcast. That's 27 HRPOD.
Topic.
Right, that's 8 minutes down. What have we got?
Well, you've set the lay of the land out.
You set the lay of the land lay out of the land out.
You've laid out the lay of the land out.
You love
out.
That, don't you?
That's another Gannonism.
Go on.
Paul was meant to say let's look at the lay of the land.
Yeah.
And he said let's set out the lay of the land out.
Yeah, it was good.
Which yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, it keeps you happy at night, doesn't it?
When I'm lonely at night, which happens quite a lot.
Yeah.
I just roll over. I've got a framed thing.
Yeah, a framed thing.
It's a frame.
A frame.
With a picture
of
the words, let's lay the lay of the land out. And I don't feel so bad.
Is it stitched in like one of those?
It's one
cross
of those Copper
Street. Oh, we are fucked. Oh, my God.
Well, at least we can swear.
Yes, thank God for that, because I hate to be the person editing this show.
Yes, because there will be some swearing.
Because here's the thing. Let's just say you're an idiot and you don't have the FUBAR Radio app on your phone. Why would you not? It's a trial. You can try it out tonight.
Is it a free trial?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can try it out and you know, listen to us live. But let's just say you don't. We are letting you get this on iTunes every hour on the hour from, I hope... 9 o'clock onwards, we are going to be breaking these shows up into hour chunks, putting them up, and you can visit us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all the avenues. If you go to our giving page, which is the myrednoseday.com address I gave earlier, there's links there to iTunes and FUBAR Radio, and obviously to sponsor. What else was I going to
Could
say?
Could I just ask something at this juncture, Paul?
Yes, go for it.
Let's imagine that I'm a stupid... Right.
Yeah.
I'm not very tech savvy.
Yeah.
I'm very stupid.
Yeah.
and I just went onto the Google and typed in FUBAR Radio.
Right.
Would I be able there then to somehow arrive at our...
Yes.
27-hour podcast.
There are links aplenty. Social media, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, probably not MySpace.
I'm pretty sure if you, even if you asked Jeeves, you'd be able to make something happen.
Oh, wait there. Let me just check Alta Vista and see what we can get. So please donate to us. We've got all the kind of contact. You will help us today if you're listening in, and you'll be able to download us and just get in touch and get involved. We have... a shitload, I think is the correct term, of guests coming up scattered over the next day and a bit.
Yes. We should immediately point out it's not just us three for 27 hours.
No. No one wants that.
I mean, to be fair, this is just admin at the top. We will get, you know, theoretically better, or at least different, as the show progresses. But, it's not just us. There are lots of other cool people coming in, aren't there?
Yeah, shall I give them a little teasy taste of who we've got?
Let's have a little sizzle.
Why don't you mention just five? Not the five best, just five.
Just five, the first five that I see.
Yeah.
Okay, Angela Barnes.
Brilliant.
A fantastic comedian. She's been doing lots of stuff. She's been on Mock the Week and things of late.
She's very good.
Yeah, I love Angela Barnes. And we get on really well because we both have a deep, weird love of The Archers.
Oh, right.
I've fallen out of it recently.
You don't listen to The Archers.
I do. Not as much as I used to. Because I've gone on to podcasts now, so that's kind of my
thing. Well, there's a podcast of The Archers.
There's
an omnibus.
I refuse to believe that. I don't want to go. I don't want to go there.
Right, fine.
But Angela Barnes is there. Who else have we got? Let's just pick one at random. I say random. I am actually picking what I want
to do. Yeah, you're not picking it at random.
Basil Brush.
Now, that is something... that's a surprise to me and something I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, we've got Basil Brush calling in tomorrow morning sometime. Bum, bum.
Wasn't he under sort of observation, yew tree?
No.
I'm relieved personally.
At this point, we can't rule out. We can't rule out
puppets.
The possibility
hope that the phone call will go better than the time Sooty phoned in.
Bad.
Biggest
bad.
Crime is dead air on a radio, and then Sweep gets on, giving it the big I am. Swat.
Yeah.
It's only Sue I've got time for these days. She's polite. She's courteous, and she dressed as well.
She's sexy.
Oh, we're going there.
Sue's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How sexy? On a scale of 1 to 10, how sexy is Sue, the panda puppet from the Sooty Show?
I'd say 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. She's a bit of a plain Jane super brain kind of thing.
She's a bit of a panda puppet next door.
Oh, she's the panda pop next door?
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Something's tuned up already.
Sorry, I was just thinking.
He was thinking about Sue.
No, I know what that look is. Why am I here again? Why?
Why am I here and not with Sue? That's what I was thinking of.
Okay, so hopefully later on we got David Schneider coming by. David Schneider's one of my favourite actor-comedians and a fantastic playwright, it turns out. My ignorance proved me wrong. He's written some really great plays.
Ignorance proved you wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm writing that down. My ignorance proved me wrong. No, that is gold. That is gold.
My stupidity made me dim. Yeah. Paul Gannon.
My ignorance proved me wrong. Oh, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
But yes, David Schneider, yeah, brilliant.
And I can't wait. Obviously, you get someone like that, and they give them their time. And I don't want to just spend the whole time saying, eat my cheese.
No, well, don't.
Well, let's not say that at all, shall we?
I obviously want to ask him about Partridge and on the hour and the day-to-day and stuff like that. But I don't want it to be the only form of, you know, topic.
I want to talk to him about the... I should have researched it. I was going to basically wait till he was here and ask him if I'd remembered correctly and then find out I was thinking of someone else. But I'm pretty sure he used to do a sketch show on BBC One. And I think he had a character called Zero Talent and his amazing walking feet. And it was funny. And it was really... That was like one thing. And then did a thing where he burped in his hand and... It was really funny.
All right, I'll bring that up.
I don't think I'll be here when that happens.
No, I'll ask him the burping into the hand.
Yeah, well, the Zero Talent is amazing. I just remember that thinking that was really funny as a kid.
We'll mention that for you.
How long ago was that then?
Oh, it would have been the 90s. Oh. I don't know when in the 90s.
But the 90s. Fair enough. So we got David Schneider and loads of people. I mean, there are surprises, but we've got a great and varied guest list. And also, what with Mark's show gone on next door, there's a very good chance we're going to have some of the guests from his show pop over before or after whatever they've done is done. We'll see. There's no promises. I'm already, you know, knocking off calls from Comic Relief next door saying, Paul, you're amazing. What can we do to help you? I've got to tell them no.
When I went to see the show last a couple of years back, the 24-hour, I think it was.
Yeah.
It started after at about 4:30 in the morning. Oh, it gets tough. It gets tough then.
Right, and that's when he's gone and it's just us two
just
left.
Us, it will be tough.
Fuck. Well, you know what we're going to do later in, well, maybe around that time, what I thought we'd try and do? Because I've been reliably informed the building that we're in, which I think is called the Brickworks.
Yes. The Bus Works.
Oh, my God.
It's the Bus Works, yeah.
The Bus Works.
Yeah. The Brain. Okay,
just... That's fine. It was just completely startling to have Matt, our producer, just shout all of a sudden godlike. It was just... I like it.
What did she shout?
The Bus Works.
But I'm writing down Brickworks as one of your
That doesn't count.
That's just wrong. That's just misremembering something.
You've got to go easy on me, mate.
Your ignorance
easy.
Proved you wrong there.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Right,
so,
okay.
The Bus Works.
Yeah.
What's the rumour about it?
Okay, it's haunted.
Ooh.
And anyone who knows me, sadly who knows me, knows that I'm obsessed with Ghostbusters and the supernatural, despite having no belief in the supernatural at all, but I'm fascinated with it.
Well, tonight
or
might
Ghostbusters
be the night.
Anymore?
No, well, yeah. I'm sure that will be something that comes up. Ghostbusters.
Am
will
I
be...
right in thinking the new Ghostbusters is going to be called Extreme Ghostbusters?
Not as far as I know. I don't think they'd call it that because that was the name of the cartoon show in the 90s.
Ah, that was the
when they
that was
rebooted
the cartoon
it.
Show.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's just going to be called Ghostbusters. I think it's just going to be called Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. If you're going to reboot,
No, it's too soon for this. It's too soon.
It is too soon for the whole Save reboot it. Discussion. Right, write that down as a topic for later. Reboot. Yeah. Okay. Because I've got...
We've still yet to really, I think, win the audience over before we start alienating them with hateful
rant about pop culture. Yeah, that's the hard thing about podcasting and doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can't really get that sort of immediate feedback from the audience, don't know if they're walking out or coming in or or even are there at all.
It's probably for the best, we don't know. It's best to treat this as a cocoon. A cocoon, a world that we build. Right?
Cocoon or Cocoon 2?
Cocoon. No one's watched Cocoon 2.
Oh, I think I've seen it.
Speaking of getting a Gannonisms, my friend had a thing where they get, you know, I don't know what it's called, but just get two things confused. It's quite easy to get confused. But they genuinely got confused with the films Platoon and Cocoon. Which has always made me laugh that they thought that one was the...
Bleeds into the other.
Yeah.
Holy balls. Yeah, that I can't brilliant. Imagine that being...
They also thought that Jeff Capes was a celebrity chef. And that Iggy Pop's real name is David Bowie. He used to do the character Alvin Stardust.
You know what, to be fair, I used to think that as well when I was much younger.
What? You thought that Iggy Pop was David Bowie's...
I got confused between the two of them. It's like when you get the Bill Paxton and Bill...
Pullman.
Mixed up. Who's the guy who's the president in Independence Day?
Bill Pullman.
I get those two mixed up.
Oh, yeah,
the time.
They're very interchangeable.
Lone Star.
Yeah, that's the
He'll
one.
He'll always be Lone Star.
Do you know what I get used to not be able to distinguish between? Talking Heads and Simple Minds.
Oh, yeah, I had that.
They were in exactly the same drawer in my head.
But musically, they're not similar, are they?
No, not really.
No.
Where's our first guest coming there?
inside voice.
So, you know what we should do before we go any further? We should go into a little bit about who we are. Because, you know what, people have tuned into FUBAR. They know FUBAR, but they might not know what the Geekatorium is, and they might not know who we are. In fact, let's be honest, they will not know who we are.
Okay.
So, Sandling, you begin. Tell the audience, the virgin audience... what you is.
Hello, my name is Richard Sandling. I am a comedian and actor and podcaster, and I make online content. We can hear that.
We can so hear you.
We can so hear you opening your can of drink.
It's just special brew.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Didn't bring enough for everyone.
That's it, the big tin.
It's a very solitary drink, special brew, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I once came up with a drink for... I'm sure this is probably already a thing, but I came up with it for barbecues. It was like a special brew shandy.
Oh.
Because it occurred to me that, you know, let's be honest, we all like shandies, but they have that thing, especially if you grow up in Essex, it's a little bit... It's not manly to drink a shandy, even though it's the tastiest way to drink beer because it's diluted with lemonade. Tasty lemonade is the best way to enjoy lager. So I invented, basically it was a special brew shandy, so it was half a special brew, half lemonade.
Whoa.
So that it would be as alcoholic as a pint of beer, but as refreshing as a shandy. So I called it a Mandy, a man's shandy.
Nice.
And it was the aftertaste is a bit weird, but it tastes really nice when you're actually drinking it.
Does it taste nice?
It does, actually. Although it's a great barbecue drink.
Oh, that's special brew. We're not talking about Tennent Super here.
Well, there's different sort of types, isn't there?
Yeah. So this special brew is Carlsberg.
This is the Carlsberg special brew.
I used to, as a teenager, used to go for the Tennent's Tennent Super. Wow. Wow, that stuff. Nothing. No amount of, like, industrial-grade lemon puree would dilute the taste, the horrible, horrible taste of that stuff.
Well, one of our guests is nearby, a friend of mine. And comedian and writer, a man called Jem Roberts. He's turning up now, so I'm going to go, well, we should send someone to fetch him, at least. Because that's the other thing we're going to have to figure out. When people turn up, who's going to go fetch him?
Well, I've just done my brilliant introduction and shandy story, so shall I give you to the floor and go and let the fella in?
I was going to say I could let him in, because I know what he looks like, and give him a shout.
That's true, you could go and let him in.
Eli, talk about your fantastic
explain
life.
Explain who you are, and then we'll have a chat, and then we can sort of, you know, raise the level, and then Paul will get back.
Yeah, that's exactly what we should do.
Okay, well, I'm Eli Silverman. I'm a comedian and actor and DJ.
Oh, yes, you're a DJ, aren't you?
A vinyl DJ.
Vinyl.
And I operate in London. And I do a show with Paul, his The Uncleakables podcast, which I suppose this is an outpouring of.
Yep.
That's a monthly live podcast recording. Sometimes it's liver than other times. Depending on whether there's an audience or not. But it goes ahead. That's the good thing about it. You can always make a recording, whether there's anyone there or not. Mm-hmm. You know? So, Rich, you...
Yeah.
You can... any other drinks you've invented?
Amaretto and Night Nurse.
What's that called?
Just, like... I didn't have time to name it.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Amaretto and Night Nurse. That is my... I wouldn't advise anyone try it.
That is some good stuff.
Yeah, amaretto and night. I think if I was ever really famous and had to embrace a trendy sort of drug habit or substance abuse, I would go for Night Nurse.
Yeah, because it's pretty
brilliant. Night Nurse. I absolutely love Night Nurse.
It'll knock you out.
Oh, it's brilliant.
What if you do it during the day? Do you get a cold?
I don't know. I mean, I've never. You know, I actually look forward to having a cold. It means I can have Night Nurse. Basically, sit at home going, when's it like? Oh,
is
9
is that
o'clock?
The sniffles? Oh, I must
I've
have
got
the
a bit of a cold. 7 o'clock, is that too early to, like, you know, get on the night nurse
well,
and just
I think...
pass out for 12 hours?
Ha ha ha, great.
Oh, look,
Paul, we don't need you.
Oh,
we're discussing...
really?
Oh,
come on. No, seriously, if that's true, I will go.
We're discussing what amaretto and night nurse should be called.
I'm a night nurse.
Oh, no.
I'm a nurse.
What? Almond nurse.
Nurto.
That's it.
Nurto.
I've invented Nurto. A pizza, if we're on this topic.
Right.
Yeah.
You're on this topping.
Oh, very droll, sir, very droll.
Thank you. So, I actually do want to come up with the name for this pizza that I've invented. I'll just take you through the toppings. You've got black olives.
I'll allow it.
Anchovies.
I'll allow it.
Pepperoni.
Yeah.
I like the way you're writing this down.
And... jalapenos.
Ooh. Jalapenos.
That's the essence.
It's quite an oily pizza.
The Mexiteranean.
Brilliant.
I'm sorry, when did this become the Dragon's Den?
Mexiteranean.
Hey, the Mexiteranean.
And the Uranian bit could be like the bit in Subterranean.
Yeah.
Spelt like that.
As opposed to the radioactive substance.
Yes. Yeah. Mexiteranean.
Ooh.
No.
James Cameron can say that's his new thing to look for in his next piss-poor sci-fi offering.
Ooh.
Because here's the thing. All right, here's the thing about James Cameron. Great director. No one's saying he's not a great director.
He is a great director.
What I am saying is that he's an awful script writer.
Yeah?
Because all his films are great, but they're not great because of the scripts.
People would argue that you can't have a great film without a great script.
Well, anyone who went to see 50 Shades of Grey or Titanic would disagree.
They're not great films.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I think one of the things about James, if you want to get slightly technical, is that he actually does... Well, I think what it is actually he does proper scripts. So it's like the proper three-act, heroes journey. So it's like actually what he's doing is proper scripts. But if you're like me and you prefer your film slightly like rough and ready, then you're going to go, oh, you know,
Do we have to have the hero overcoming?
It's the sort of save the cat thing, and it's like, there's Newt, and then she gets to be like the surrogate mother, and it's just get the aliens killing everyone. I don't care. Like, that's, you know, so it's like, it's good, but at the same time, you go, have more fun with it, and you know.
He doesn't subvert the classic three act structure.
No, less lot, save the he? Cat. Well, it's better than what we have now, which is, you know, 75 minutes of act two.
Yeah. Although I will say about this about James Cameron, they should let him make a film however long he wants, but just put out the last 90 minutes of it. Because that seems to be what was only good about Titanic and Avatar.
Now, that Judd Apatow would be the reverse, wouldn't it? Let him make a film, just cut the last hour.
I would.
Just cut it, don't even watch it. It'd be fine.
Well, the thing about James Cameron as well is that he has been to the bottom of the sea, so he's won.
Like, if that was the only...
Basically, like, so, what do you didn't like her, didn't like this film? No, I've been to the bottom of the ocean. I bought my own submersible.
He invented his own
bathysphere type machine and went to the bottom of the sea just because he could.
Yeah. No, I'd look.
And you go, you know what?
He's a dude.
I like him. I mean, he can be a bit of a cock at times, but, you know, when you've got all that muster behind you, it's hard to not want to shake your tongue around.
So he did Aliens.
Yeah.
And Terminator 2.
And Terminator 1, don't forget.
And Terminator 1, which is my favourite.
And The Abyss, which is actually my favourite. Out of all the films he's done, I like The Abyss.
Here we go. Now, this is going to be a theme with Paul. You'll notice his taste in movies is totally stupid. Batshit crazy. This is a guy who said to me, the other day, oh, Shining, it's a bit shit. Yeah, okay, literally, you said that. And then... what's that called? John Carter of Mars, you know that one?
No, it's not Mars, is it?
No, just John Carter. So a few days later, after saying The Shining, you know, a well-renowned masterpiece of the idiom, comes up to me a few days later, John Carter, it's actually quite good, John Carter. What?
I said it wasn't as bad as people may
know. And here
we go,
The Abyss, the best of Cameron's work, is it?
Yes, it is, personally speaking. Awful. I engaged in The Abyss a lot more than I engaged in T2, or True Lies.
Has that got Bill Paxton in it?
Bill Paxton is in True Lies. He's not in The Abyss.
Paxton was...
That's a Michael Biehn
Bill
flick.
Bill Paxton, I think, if it's still true, is the only person on screen to be killed by an alien, a Terminator and a Predator.
Really?
Technically, Lance Henriksen, you don't see him die in Terminator 1.
But he does die... Oh, no, he dies in Aliens, and he dies in... Oh, yeah. Where does he die in Predator?
Alien versus
Predator. Oh, OK.
But not in the original Predator.
See, that's not canon.
But that's Bill Paxton, an alien, a Terminator and a Predator, killed by all three. The holy trinity of I've been killed by.
My favourite Bill Paxton role?
Yeah?
Chet.
Oh, from Weird Science?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that, turd face or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Did you ever see Bill Paxton with the film that he did, The Man with Three Arms, that he did with Judd Nelson?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Which I think is Adam Rafkin. Is it Rifkin?
I don't know.
Adam Rafkin's the guy from Action, the cartoon, the TV series. That's the character in Action, the TV series. Adam Rifkin did a comedy. It's basically Judd Nelson is like this loser and he grows a third arm and all he does is basically play the accordion really badly and then just turns around and shows them his arm and then turns around and he's like a massive superstar. And Bill Paxton's basically like his dickhead friend.
Ah,
I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
That sounds
good. Man with three arms. It's all right.
Fair enough.
But it's like, you know, it's the sort of, it's just one of those weird, it's one of those weird movies, we talked this before, like Howard the Duck and films like Garbage Pail Kids, like films that sort of have no audience. Like, who have you made this for?
Because no one wanted to watch Howard the Duck.
Earth Girls Are Easy. Who's your chartered demographic film?
I've never seen Earth Girls Are Easy.
It's like, it's really...
Is that Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, and...
Gina Davis,
yeah.
Because were they both in Transylvania 6000 as well? Because I get those two mixed up at times.
Is that Jeff Goldblum or is that?
I thought he was in that.
Yeah, listeners, if you don't know what these two are talking about, you're not alone. Believe me, I switched off about 30 seconds ago.
We peaked early with the incomprehensible, impenetrable chat.
Yeah, I'm glad. So you know what we should do? Actually, we'll play because we can play songs. They won't go in the finished podcast when they're released, but we can break up the show.
So
with
what
songs.
You're saying is the songs is the gold you get for listening live.
Yeah.
The song, wow.
They're the
you are so lucky, people.
They are the happy endings to a half-hour rub and tug, right?
I've brought along some choice, you know, because as I mentioned earlier, I do DJ.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm available to DJ. just putting that out there.
No,
and,
fair play.
I've bought some vinyl.
You'll make a change with just turning up with records demanding to play.
No one wants that person at their nightclub, that's for sure.
We've got a massive selection of stuff we're going to play. I've personally decided all the songs I want to play tonight are going to be based on comedy songs or songs by comedians, or I've also got almost every comic relief song ever released.
Oh, that's good.
I'll tell you what, though. I said almost for a very good reason, because let's be honest, the last few years, not been good.
No, now I can't even remember. It's still been like, take that, One Direction did it, didn't they?
Yeah, because here's what's wrong with it.
Or are you remembering the Children Need songs?
No, they're all as bad as each other, but definitely. Comic Relief songs now are Children Need songs, effectively, you know. The overproduced kind of pop by whatever band's pop at the moment. Which is fine, because that brings in the people buying the singles.
The important thing is that it makes money.
That is the important thing, that
it's
makes
a charity single.
Money. Yeah.
It's for charity.
Yeah, but the focus is wrong. That's my problem, isn't it? It's like, back in the day when the Young Ones did it, it was like, Young Ones were front and centre, and then there was Cliff Richard, right? And the same for whatever came out the next year. It was like the Lon and Nini Nunu. It was like, they were first, and then Bananarama were second, but then the focus began to be more like, oh, it's right, yes. Fred and a load of people, and it's Chrissy Hynde.
It kind of changed. It was like nominally the same formula, but it actually, the balance within that formula changed over the years, didn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's sad. This is my opinion. The last decent Comic Relief song, if you don't count the lazy efforts Paul K did. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad he gets involved and he chips in, but he just basically
Peter K.
What did I say? Paul K.
I'm sure. Imagine Peter K's Dennis Pennis. That would have been brilliant.
That would have been.
I saw Paul K on the tube the other day.
Oh, ooh.
He had that look like, don't fucking try it.
Why, what were you going to do?
No, not just to me, just to everyone.
Oh, right, he had a bit of a growl.
That's just everyone in London. You just happen to know who he was. I have that. You know, I have the thing, I have the, you know, I, no matter what the weather, I have headphones in, sunglasses on, head down.
That's
just
it.
Basically don't, but then you still get like chuggers come up to you. And I just sort of, what are you... You know.
Sorry, I thought you said Cheggers then.
No, Cheggers will not leave me alone, that man. Right, it's like my spirit animal.
Right, we're going to cut to our first song of the day. I've got the wrong mouse in my hand, and let's go 500 miles with the Claimers, a nice marching, beaty, upbeat song. Should we begin with that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes.
Hooray! The Proclaimers there with 500 miles. I want to go. Close brackets.
No.
What?
Nobody calls it I Want to Go.
No. Okay, so we got our first guest in the studio tonight. He's an old school friend of mine. He's gone on to much bigger and better things. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to your ears the man we all like to call Jem Roberts.
Yay!
Jem Roberts!
All right, have you been doing your old school homework? That's the question.
You're on mic now. Hooray!
Oh, okay. I don't really understand what an old school friend is. Do you mean an old
we go
school
to an old
friend?
School. No, we go to an old school five days a week. It's great. We have old school dinners and the whole lot.
And we only learn things that were popular during the Renaissance. So, yeah. So, Jem. Should we go into a little bit of why we know each other and what you've done with your life?
Yes, we used to be married in the last century.
We did, yeah.
Up until the start of this century.
Because
the
laws
changed.
And then
we decided that we didn't actually have to, in any way, face each other for, you know, ever, really.
That certainly helped our sex
so
life.
And now we opt to occasionally, and that's how it works, really.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll occasionally turn up and pretend that I'm Stuart Lee and just sort of judge you any time we discuss things.
Please don't make me the Richard Herring for Stuart Lee.
Too late.
Because who's the real Stuart Lee? Is it the man who's on stage doing witty comments about the salad, or was it me, the businessman, in his suit and tie?
Probably the latter.
Yeah. All right.
But,
so
no, it shouldn't make any such comparisons anyway, because people would be disappointed. And you know, I just got passed by. Tim Minchin just passed me by outside, and I thought, I'm going to come in and do some songs now. And I just thought, oh, great, thanks. I just sort of passed one of the greatest funny songwriters of the century.
When we grow up, when we grow up. I love that song.
And I'm wearing shoes and socks, so I already lose.
Why? Is he a
was Minchin barefoot?
No, he's probably taking his shoes and socks off right now.
He does, he does. That's how he gets his mojo.
All the music comes up through the floor, through his toes.
And he absorbs it through his feet, music horns. Yes. Good. Can you remember the first time we tried to do something with a Comic Relief?
Oh, yes, in a year. 1998?
God almighty, when we were back at university.
Was that a great big guffaw at the year 1998 somewhere?
It was.
That life existed that long ago.
Because what, it's what, 16, 17 years ago now when we, eager little faces, decided we had the hubris.
Yes,
to
we
go
were Ponzi
on stage.
Students doing comedy sketches.
What did you do? What was your challenge?
We did a 3-hour sketch show, basically, didn't we?
The challenge was make people turn up to a show. And we almost achieved it.
It's harder than it. It's
I suppose
harder than
the question
it.
Is, what famous sketches did you rip off into thinking that no one in the audience would know that you'd stolen them?
We were up and centre saying they were all sketches from other people. Like
Oh, so you didn't write? You didn't write a three-hour sketch.
We wrote 10% of that show.
maybe nine.
And now a sketch by. Is that what you mean? That was your original content.
Well, I think we did do that. We didn't hide it. We had a program.
Oh
didn't
no, of course. We wanted to get people to turn up.
To this day, my favourite sketch we did was Fry and Laurie's The Hedge sketch. I love that sketch because it's one of those great sketches that in itself isn't a funny sketch. There's nothing in it that is funny, you know, in terms of the writing. But it's the performance of it. It's that sense of, you know, not knowing who's leading the sketch.
And we screwed it up at least once.
No, we didn't. We did it great. I remembered it great.
We did it more than once.
Yeah, we did.
We might have got it right once.
Yeah, so we did that. And then I thought way back when, you know what, let's just not do anything for Comic Relief ever again. It's far too much hard work.
But here we are.
You've made up for it with 27 hours in a row.
Yeah, and then we both went to Bournemouth, didn't we? Well, you went ahead.
We did. I didn't realise this is your life, but it's great.
It is great. Mate, we've got 26 hours of show.
True,
Do you think I'm not going to inch every single happy memory?
Do you eat anchovies these days?
No.
You don't? You still don't eat anchovies?
Because we knew what happened last time.
This is the second time anchovies have come up.
Yeah. What, in the first...
hour? Anchovies twice,
minutes. That's
yes.
incredible.
I've invented a pizza.
Oh, it's fantastic. Don't feed any to him.
It has anchovies on it. It's an integral part. Of the Mediterranean.
He'd be letting things seep out of his body very quickly.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't do fish, I know.
That was graduation day, wasn't it?
That was the one. Okay, so here, I'll tell you the story. Okay, so what happened was this. The day before graduation, we're all getting a bit... We all come back to Aberystwyth, where we studied for a little time, and we all got a bit crazy. And I thought... Okay, I got very drunk, and I had a pizza that, at the time, I didn't know had anchovies buried in. And because I was so drunk, I didn't really...
You just yammed it down.
Didn't really. Yeah, I just rammed it down. And then, you know, you get drunk, you get home, and then I was vomiting hard. I vomited so hard, I gave myself groin strain, right?
Ooh, that's hard.
And so on the day of the graduation, my balls are in so much pain, right? So I can't walk, I can't stand up straight. I'm holding myself, you know, my hand on my groin the whole way through. And then my mum turns up, and mum's like... oh, we'll film it for you. And I was like, okay, here's the camcorder, right, Mum? It's got one button. You press it once, the little red light comes on, it records. You press it again, it stops. Mum's fine, all right? So I'm sitting in the audience, and then it's like, my name's called, and you go up and get your scroll, right?
Yeah.
So I go up, I get the scroll, and all you can hear is, you know, and I'm just hobbling along. And I get it, and I go back, and I sit down. It's painful and embarrassing. And then my mum goes, oh, I filmed it, you look so good. And I looked at the footage, and literally, it's 2 hours of my mum's lap. Then you hear... my name, me go, and then it cuts off. And then this comes back and I'm hobbling back off the thing again. So that was my graduation, yeah.
And that was uploaded online as my mum's lap tape, wasn't it?
Yeah, big hit. If this was 20 years ahead...
Top video
on Vine, I would have been the next Dapper Hamster. Is that not his name?
No.
So the great thing about Jem, apart from his many skills, because don't get me wrong... he's got skills. He's a great writer. You've written 3 fantastic books, mate. And this comes from someone who doesn't really have to bother fluffing you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say somebody who doesn't actually know how to read a book.
Well, there is also that.
Yeah.
No, you wrote a great book on...
This is all very nice, but it's rather awkward because sort of we're here for charity things. So it's like, I was thinking about this. If you ask me about what I do, it's the equivalent of turning up with like a great big cheque for 68 quid and saying, that is from Phillips Budrigar. For the finest budges in town.
Aye.
And take your 68 quid. Yes, I write books on comedy is what I do. And I did the official I'm Sorry, I'm in a Clue book, which is they're all available in proper shops. And I did the official Blackadder book, if you're a fan of Blackadder, I haven't heard of that, the true history of the Blackadder. And my latest book, after that, the Douglas Adams' family gave me permission to do the new official Douglas Adams biography, The Frood. Which came out last year.
There's people happening. I saw in the charity shop the other day a book that was in the Douglas Adams, in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe.
Oeuvre.
Universe.
Yeah.
But wasn't written by Douglas Adams. There's people writing.
Oh, well, yeah there was one that came out several years ago by Ewan Colfer.
That's the one, yeah.
But that was.
The actual fourth.
And
book.
Another thing. And it's not bad, really.
I liked it.
Do you read it?
Well,
I read
that, yeah.
It's far more comedic than like the latter 2 or 3 Hitchhiker's Guide books, the proper ones. And it's never obviously going to be proper Douglas Adams, and he died. So in terms of canon, that's a pretty big line in the sand of Noah's death. So you either accept it or you don't.
But it's been, given the thumbs up by the estate. So
no, it was properly official, right, all the way through.
It wasn't as if he turned up one day and went, you know what I've done, mate? point, I've written a new Hitchhiker's Guidebook. And I didn't ask for it, but here we've got one for you.
It was the usual thing. I mean, I went through the same thing in writing The Fruit, even though it was a biography. It was sort of a lot of soul-searching and, you know, is this worth doing? Is it worthwhile and everything? In the end, I was given permission to actually go inside the Douglas Adams archive at Cambridge, which nobody's ever done before. So my book's full of original Douglas Adams Hitchhiker material, which nobody's seen before. So that's kind of the opposite of what Johan Colfer was doing. But it was done absolutely with love. It's just slightly, the only criticism I'd say, if you want to read that book, is it's slightly, I think because he writes children's stories, ordinarily, Artemis Fowl and all that.
It's very much like that.
I was wondering what else he does. Yeah.
Well, they're good books. They're kind of, for kids, they're kind of slightly naughty and everything. But I think this is the first time he thought, I'm writing for adults. So there's just so many references to penises and things like that, which aren't really quite Hitchhiker-y.
He just thought, oh, I've been let off the leash.
Exactly.
Penis cock bum willy.
And instead of galactic gargle blasters, there's these things which are basically spliffs that make your head explode.
Ooh, naughty, like naughty drugs, exactly. Cock bum willy. Spliff.
I'm not against there being more.
I am one of the contributors to the new Meaning of Lift book.
Oh, are you?
I had one of my lifts was accepted.
A few good ones, tell us.
Well, my one is Bracknell. It was actually changed in the book, which I don't mind, but it's basically Bracknell, the attitude with which you explain to an older person how to use a computer.
I love that, because for people who don't know, what is the Meaning of Lif about?
The Meaning of Lif is a dictionary of... It's basically a dictionary
words for...
Words that should exist that don't exist. So it's sensations.
But they use place names, don't they?
Place names, always
place names.
I think one of my favourite ones from the first one was, I think it's Peoria... Fear of peeling too few potatoes. Just, you know, things like that. And I can't remember what the one is, but, like, the suspicion that a certain postbox won't work.
I was also embarrassed when people are exchanging lifts because, you know, I'm his official biographer and the only one I remember is Ludlow because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And that's a stilt thing.
It's
I remember this.
It's something you wedge under a table leg to stop it wobbling.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it isn't genius, but it's the only one that comes to mind. Because
Deal. I remember Deal.
Go on.
I think it was stuff that you find in your belly button.
So you don't remember it then?
I can't remember it.
All right, fair enough. You've attributed.
You remember a lift.
I don't.
There you go. Let's move on. Thank you.
Let's get back to Jim.
Right, yeah, good. So before we get to Jim, I just want to do the thing. Again, please donate. We're not doing this for the good of our helves. We are here for the next 26 hours, so please donate.
Phillips Budgerigar Farm. Sorry.
You can give as little as you want or as much as you want to my...
Preferably as much as you want.
Will you please? I'm doing admin. my.redneseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. If you've got any topics you'd like us to talk about, because we're the Geekatorium and we are a pop culture reference show, we like to say we cover anything from Sartre to Star Wars, from Bed and Breakfast to Dungeons and Dragons. We're all in it together. Go to #27topic and you can retweet that too at the Geekatorium or at Fubar Radio.
Or #27ourpod. 27 HRPOD, which is the general hashtag that I came up with.
Yeah,
so Sandling's use that one because it's best.
Yes, please give Sandling something to hold on to tonight. Right.
And now let's have a look at the real reason why we're here. Have you got it?
Eli Silverman needs a drink. Just £2 can buy him a tin of something nasty from a shop.
Let's have a special brew with lemonade in.
That's a couple of Mandy's.
Sorted for later
you
on tonight.
Want a Smirnoff Ice in there. That's
called the power shandy, isn't it?
A turbo shandy. Is a kind of a high alcohol lager with Smirnoff Ice in it. If we can advertise, I don't know.
Ooh.
But if you use special brew instead of Stella Artois, it then becomes a double turbo shandy, and you have to cancel the rest of the day.
Holy shit, I'd love to see this apply to a reboot of Cocktail. With whoever, you know, Tom Cruise can do.
He'd just play himself again, wouldn't he?
Yeah, love. What do you want, a turbo shandy? There you go.
I don't think he could do that accent. And he'd have
That's
to...
That's true.
He'd need to stand in the trench.
Right,
what he does, doesn't he?
Yes. No, you've made
no,
all...
No, everyone else stands in a trench.
I saw that Jack Reacher film the other day.
Yeah.
It was almost good. It was almost
good. It was almost good, but he stunk it up.
I don't know. Everyone hates Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is great. Tom Cruise is a great movie star and a very good actor.
I'm not doing a song about how awful Tom Cruise is, isn't it?
In fact,
I left that at home.
Why don't you do a song right now?
That wasn't actually
that sounds professional, and I like it.
It does. Well, the other way of getting round to this side of things, I was thinking, because you were doing this whole "This Is Your Life" thing, is that you and me used to turn up and pretend to make people laugh.
Yeah, we
not
tried.
Even tried. We pretended to try to make people laugh. And do sketches and things like that. Yeah. And we must have written about 80 sketches in those years.
Yeah.
And suddenly bereft of you after you ran away with my pig and so forth.
Don't call Eli that.
Oh, sorry.
I'm in the room.
You are mine. I thought, you know, what do you do? I'm not a stand-up. I'll never be a stand-up. I'm not really a stand-up type.
You're a stand-up gent to me, though, sir.
Exactly. So basically, this thing that I've got hanging around my neck at the moment is my replacement for you.
Oh.
And has been. And I've actually earned a hell of a lot more money with it than I ever did with you.
To be fair, I've got almost the exact same thing to say back.
Exactly.
Because I've got my little booger right there as well. That's my emergency glass
breaking. Tempted to borrow yours for this first song. Because
no, that's yours. Cooler, it's electrified.
Well, this is the thing. I don't know what that sounds like to those at home.
Well, I'm wearing earphones and it sounds all right.
Exactly. Well, it doesn't sound very, very Yuki is the point. If it was acoustic, then... But also, yes, anyway, here we go.
You can borrow my one if you want.
You've invited me here to give you some rights-free content. Is that not true?
That is exactly why we got you.
Rights-free content. Well, I didn't quite understand the 27-hour challenge thing. I thought that to qualify, you all had to be involved in pretty much everything that was going. So I brought maracas and kazoo and Swanee Whistle as the official... I'm sorry, I have
well,
a clue.
We better get... Paul Gannon should obviously get first dibs as he's...
I've got to be honest, driving
the show.
You've got rhythm to do.
Got rhythm.
Not that you guys don't have rhythm, but I just don't know for sure.
You've
but
never
I know
seen
it has.
Me.
It's up to you. It's optional. It's purely optional. Especially
kazoo or Swanee Whistle.
As you don't know the songs.
Swanee, please. Yeah.
You go easy on that as well.
All right.
Give it a test first.
Just test the Swanee.
Yes, I don't even know. I don't even know how to play the kazoo.
That is a professional grade Swanee Whistle.
Your hum.
Do 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 do. That's how you use a kazoo.
Oh, my God.
No, there's no racing car song.
Maybe.
How's that live-action stage version of Johnny Briggs?
Johnny Briggs.
Look, we have got Johnny Briggs right here in the studio.
Do you remember the episode of Johnny Briggs where they had the chocolate?
Down a little slide and smiling to the camera at the end.
And when he goes down the slide...
I just remember there was one episode where they made a cake and they ate the cake they weren't allowed to make, so they cut a loaf of bread out and put that in and covered the top with toothpaste and no one knew.
Oh, my God, that was Proustian. I've not thought about that since 1988. Yeah. And now I remember the entire episode from start to finish. That's quite scary.
Right, what I'll say to you is if you're going to use the thing, don't do it at the mic, do it away from it.
No.
Otherwise it'll sound harsh. Do as you're told.
And don't go crazy because you don't know these songs.
I'm going to beat.
I'll just basically, Jem, I'm going to wait until you go da-da at the end, and then it can go...
You haven't got the dreads, but I think it's a nice touch.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
But anyway, as I say, I do play songs, and I do play the ukulele. Yes, I understand that. But there is a reason for that, and this is my disclaimer, basically, for all my acts. I'm just going to do, like, three songs, and then we'll do something else and get rid of it. But I'm going to start with this song, which is my disclaimer, and it disclaimed a little something like this. 1, 2, 3.
Hey!
Well, you hear it clinking, plonking over every bloody ad. Play for 12 and tossers whose fingering is bad. Everyone hates ukuleles now. It's hardly an instrument, it's only got 4 strings. Everywhere there's hipsters tweely fucking at the things. Everyone hates ukuleles now. For hundreds of years, the pride of Hawaii, the joy of George Formby and Laurel and Hardy. But one fucking ad break and you can see why people want to shove it up me arse and how. It don't take any talent, just to scrape some chords. That's what's better picking up the ukin hordes. Everybody hates ukuleles now.
Motherfuckers!
Well,
minute advertising every piece of shit on sale, or being brought to disrepute by Noah and the Whale. Everybody hates ukuleles now. At the risk of sounding less jocular, I liked it before it was popular, but by now surely uke should be passé. But if you've got some kind of problem, remember a uke can be used as a weapon, and you have to understand that it is all I can fucking play! Okay? That's about my level musically. And so there's youth clubs springing up all round, filling up the air with a scraping sound. We've reached saturation point, I don't know how. But if the sound of a uke makes you want to puke, fair dues, but I don't have to give a fook about everyone hates ukuleles now. Turned out again. Very sweet of you for that cricket applause. And don't relax too much. We're going to move straight on with a very short number. It's a swing number. I don't know if any of you guys are swingers. We could discuss that later on. But
we'll cover that, don't you worry.
You might want to kind of help me out. Give me a little bit of a click. If you can put the maracas down, I think. Click fingers. We need a bit of a kind of a...
locked in.
Do you want us a mouth drum?
Yeah, I think so. We got a swing girl, just to keep our love hot. We got a swing girl, it's just a thing girl. We got a swing girl, I think you'll like it a lot. It's better to swing girl than to be single. I get a tingle every time that I think about you rimming Fat Jeff from next door. We got a swing girl, and have some femme chance baiser de la mort.
Take it!
Come on, darling, you're always saying we never go out anywhere. If we don't swing, girl, then we'll be missing out on one of the pleasures of suburban life. We gotta swing, girl, to be a healthy topping, curtain mopping, never flopping, girdle dropping, marriage propping, cocky swapping, curtain mopping, Viagra popping, swinging husband and wife.
Excellente.
Always gives them with a bonus. Okay, final one of my set. This is the big single. This is the one that we want everyone to be singing in the streets this May.
Drunk.
Yes, ideally, yes.
This is the plug tune, then.
This is the one. This is the one that I need to...
this is the reason we're all here.
Yes. This is the one I need to flog as much as possible in the next 3 months, and then I'll probably retire it. Oh. It's called At Least I'm Not a Tory. Thank you very much. Good at this. One. I'll try the kind of One Direction type version. There's a lot of different versions of this. I'm just trying to get it as commercial as possible. So this might be the Richard Curtis's choice for Comic Relief song next year, as performed by One Direction. One, two, three, four. Come up clean that I have done a lot of real bad stuff. I've helped get Keen to number one, and I like directing snuff. When it comes to how to save the globe, I haven't got a clue. But there's one thing that I just could never do. 'Cause at least I'm not a Tory. At least I'm not a Tory. Oh, I've never voted Tory. I've never voted Tory. There's so many bad things I could do. Cruel and wrong, perverted too. But at least I'm not a Tory like you. Population endangers all mankind, so I like to go to crowded railway stations and I slash folk to unwind. Well, I'd gladly goose you in your sleep, and then I'd gas some Kurds. But there's one thing which is just too sick
for words. Cause at least I'm not a Tory. At least I'm not a Tory. No, I've never voted Tory. Never voted Tory. But there's many voters from here to Harlow whose hearts are black and whose heads are hollow. At least I'm not a Tory. Like Gary Barlow. Let's dance now. Nobody Everybody here, do the austerity shuffle. You know how to do that, don't you? To your knees. And you can do what you like Gary Barlow, like basically steal wages right out of nurses' pockets. Come on, kids, dance like you dance like kids dance. And like Gary Barlow dances. Alright, sorry guys, I absolutely and totally and completely messed up that song. It's completely my fault. You're live on air, I take all the responsibility. But at least I'm not a Tory. No, I never voted Tory. I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral and craps on the coffin too. But at least I'm not a Tory. Like you, and Lulu too in the 70s with that. At least I'm not a Tory like you.
You! Wipe the floor! Don't vote UKIP neither.
Hey. Well, that worked out nicely.
That was my favourite of the three, definitely.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's become the X Factor. Prepare to be judged. Right, we're going to have more from Gem a little bit later on. It is now almost 9 o'clock. 1 hour down, boys. Mark Watson's about to start next door with whatever he's getting going on. And once that's sorted, you're going out there to go and have a mingle and come back and report.
Oh.
All right, yes, fizzy up.
I don't know why that's fizzing me up.
But anyway, we're going to end this hot hour with a song. And I thought we'd pick our first Comic Relief one. So I've got, because we've got it right here and now, and the first one I saw, I thought we'd go with Stick It Out by Rod Said Freddy. No.
Yeah.
Stick It Out, but write that down, yeah. Stick It Out by Right Said Fred. Yes, enjoy.